The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Dr. Eleanor Galvin is looking wistfully into the middle distance, I imagine, contemplating what you do with €256,000.
Quite a lot, actually. I think it's a pretty massive number, isn't it?
It's the George Best thing and the rest of it, I'd wait. Yeah. 53106, if you have any questions for Eleanor, or 087-1400-106. An interesting one that suggests somebody had a poor dinner last night that says, how long does a normal, in quotes, bout of food poisoning last? And should I go to the GP?
Well, if it's going on 3 days, you certainly have a problem. But if you had just a dodgy stomach and a bit of diarrhea the next day, I would drink plenty of fluids, maybe take a bit of Imodium if you have to be somewhere, maybe try not to have to be somewhere. But if you're getting a temperature and you're finding it hard to stay hydrated, then I would certainly do something.
How long after ingestion do you get food poisoning?
Generally within 24 hours.
I have a theory that you sort of, now maybe I'm totally wrong,
that you kind of feel a bit off quickly. But
and you know what it was, you know?
And then, you know,
there's something
coming.
Your body said, yeah. Was that chicken?
Yeah, I would
chicken?
Think so. I would think so, yeah. I would think that if you are older or it's a baby or a small child, you probably would go to the GP faster because they can get dehydrated and sicker faster. But certainly if it's going on 3-5 days, you might want to think about a stool sample. You might want to think about, is it a bacterial thing?
And what's the medical intervention if you do? What is, you given fluids? I assume that's what.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you can have Dioralite, and you can get stuff over the chemist. You can also have a can of Flat 7 Up with a good pinch of salt, which makes it it's better than some of the things that you have to drink for electrolytes. And that's kind of sugary water with salt. But otherwise, if you have a bacterial bug, which would be unusual, but would be something that'd be going on for a while, then you might need a correct antibiotic for your bug.
Text saying, question for Eleanor, please. I was diagnosed as celiac by endoscopy 2 years ago at 55, living gluten-free and symptom-free ever since. 5 weeks ago, surprise daily diarrhea started. Can't pinpoint the cause. Lots of tummy rumbling and flatulence that would frighten a pride of lions. It has settled a bit, but still issues once every day. I have cut out any possible cross-contamination. Do I wait? Or should I go see the doc?
Yes, you should go see the doc because you have an autoimmune sort of thing going on already with celiac. So you might have something else going on now as well, or you can't just put it all down to celiac. They are symptoms that have been going on 2 weeks. So that was definitely somebody. And how are they absorbing their nutrients? Are they properly hydrated? Do they just have a really bad bug that is going on? So yeah, that's somebody who
needs to go. If you just have a really bad bug that is going on, that has sort of sequelae, like that will have impacts on your system generally.
Yes.
It's a good thing to get it solved.
Oh yeah, 2 weeks on, definitely.
I recently got an appointment to see a rheumatologist, says a text. Can you ask the doc if that's because I have osteoporosis?
Well, yeah, rheumatologists are kind of bone specialists as well for bone density. So rheumatologists would prescribe stuff that would be sometimes once a year in an infusion to improve osteoporosis, maybe when us GPs have come to the end of what we have available. And they would also give advice or look for reasons why you've got osteoporosis. Sometimes it's because you're old, sometimes it's post-menopause, sometimes it's exercise, and sometimes it's disorders. So that rheumatologists are extremely clever, highly specialised people who look into maybe more complex osteoporosis.
On the topic of rheumatology and rheumatism more generally, I had always thought of rheumatism as a mildly irritating thing, what happens to older people.
Yeah.
A friend of mine got bad
rheumatoid arthritis.
Extraordinary pain.
Yeah.
Like somebody who is tough as boots, like crippling pain, couldn't stand up for 2 days.
Yeah. And that was probably a flare of an autoimmune thing and kind of a nasty thing to happen.
But weirdly controllable, because you would sort of think, well, that's it, you live with that now forever. But there was a big dose of steroids and then gradual meds and everything returned
and going
to normality.
Yeah, and could be managed extremely well without your joints ending up damaged by a rheumatologist. It's to not be putting it down to aches and pains. Make sure it's not autoimmune, because sometimes it's wear and tear. You can be very sore because you climbed a mountain or something. And sometimes it'll just come out of nowhere.
This is one of those where it's the thing of, I brought it to three other mechanics and they couldn't figure it out.
I mightn't either. Come on.
I'm 50. I feel awful. I'm exhausted and worn out all the time. I'm on HRT and L-troxin for thyroid. My bloods are normal. So my GP has no answers as to why I feel so bad. What do I do? And where do I go next if my GP doesn't have any other advice for me?
What I hear there is you've had your HRT and your LTRX, and you probably had your testosterone checked as well, because women sometimes when they feel like they're plugged out of a wall, it's their testosterone, which is postmenopausal women. Some, not all. And if your testosterone isn't low, giving you testosterone won't do anything for you. But sometimes
women... Well, does it not? You, if you're at...
Well, you could get aggressive, edgy and hairy, but like you might want any of that. You know, but if you feel... Absolutely.
It's worked all right for me.
We might get it measured sometime. But if it is that your testosterone, sometimes that's the thing that's overlooked, and it's your testosterone is low in some postmenopausal women and they feel dreadful. Despite, and that person has already LTRX and already HRT. HRT traditionally means for a woman, estrogen, progesterone, but some women will need testosterone as well. Some men need testosterone as well, but some women, and that can be overlooked. And also people overlook their lifestyle and why they feel dreadful. And it might be that they just have too much going on and they might need to have a week or two off, reassess why they're feeling so awful. Are they down? Because sometimes people can be very down and feel physically awful, but won't kind of consider, am I feeling dreadfully awful because I'm actually a bit sad?
What about the bit though where if you have a regular GP, I think a lot of people feel like they cheat on the GP if they go for a second opinion. And if the GP is giving you nothing else, do you just go to a random GP and say, give us a steer?
Well, you could. Or you could go, we're presuming they have checked everything, but you could also maybe if somebody knows you and says there's nothing physically going on, I think some people think that that's very insulting and saying it's your lifestyle. But sometimes you need to take that on board. Also, endocrinologists look into further kind of chronic exhaustion and things like that.
But can you get to one of them without a GP referral?
Well, you can ask your GP for a referral.
Without insulting them?
Of course not. But if you still feel dreadful, there's no point saying, well, now we're just going to move on with my life feeling dreadful. Kind of be glad they'd come back and say,
and are you allowed to ask for a specific, because I always think with GPs, you're meant to say, well, is there anything else? And I hope they land on endocrinology. What is it?
Endocrinology.
Endocrinology. Yeah. Or can you go in and say, listen, is there any chance I could go visit an endocrinologist?
Oh, of course you can say that.
Oh.
Because if you haven't told us how dreadful you're still feeling, we might think, well, isn't that grand now? I've told them there's nothing wrong with them and off they are, they're perfectly fine. But they're actually sitting at home, tired, not sleeping, not eating right. And it could be just that they need a bit of a break and get off a kind of hamster on a wheel sort of thing that some people's lives turn into. And that can make people very ground down and burnt out.
A text saying, how often is it the case that what people think is food poisoning is actually just a tummy bug?
Well, food poisoning, tummy bug is viral. And kind of 24, 48 hours, you're probably over it. And food poisoning probably lasts longer and is probably a little bit more toxic.
I think if you've, like, there's various shades of food poisoning. I think if you're down the far end of that spectrum, you know it's food poisoning.
You do. Yeah, and I think sometimes it's quite interesting that if in one week you have two people in who were in the same restaurant, then sometimes the phone calls need to be made.
I remember I got food poisoning so bad at one point. I was in the fetal position on the floor of the bathroom and a cat came in and licked my forehead out of sympathy. When the cat is sympathizing, when you know
that's
you're
probably
bad.
That's a sign that you're nearly on your way out.
Well, apparently, now I don't want to besmirch cats, but I will. And I kind of do want to.
I do like cats,
I was listening to an interview done by one of these people who investigates the demise of individuals.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Dogs will sit beside you and starve.
Yeah. Cats will eat you.
Within about 12 hours. If you're in a very deep sea, the cat will start nibbling just to check.
Yeah.
He said without fail, the cat will eat you.
Well, I'd rather that my cat wouldn't starve if something happened to me too.
Oh, God, you'd hope that. You'd give it at least a week.
Maybe 24 hours, Oh, that's about it.
Is there anything you can do for tinnitus? Tinnitus? What's the correct pronunciation?
I say tinnitus, but I don't know if that's just how I say it. Is there anything you can do? Tinnitus is an extremely hard condition. But if it's a new tinnitus to this person, they should go to an audiologist, be checked. They should go to an ear, nose and throat, be checked. Well, via a GP. They should have looked in their ears in case it's just something simple like wax. But it is an incredibly annoying thing, sometimes linked to mood and sometimes linked to middle ear fluid. Can be controlled now by masking devices and more sophisticated masking devices where you're hearing a certain frequency in your ear. That's the tinnitus. Can imagine having a constant noise in your ear day and night.
Absolutely up the walls.
And the masking devices are used to kind of cancel it out. something like noise cancelling headphones, but just tinnitus cancelling device. And that can be helpful, but it is a process. They need to have their ears checked, their hearing checked, maybe a brain scan. But it is a thing that you just can't leave somebody with tinnitus. It's very difficult. Some people manage to cope with it themselves and tune it out. White noise machine at night sometimes will manage to help it, but it isn't a very nice thing.
But you do find that when patients present to you with
they
do eventually get some form of relief.
Hopefully. So like we would hopefully get them some form of release or at least a treatment for it. But sometimes as you investigate it along, you find the cause and you fix it.
Eleanor, as ever, thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.